Welcome to Drinks and Disney Podcast, where I, Stina, sit down with a friend and have an in-depth discussion about a specific Disney movie while we enjoy 2, 3, 4, 5 themed drinks. Part of the fun is the Instagram, at Drinks and Disney, so be sure to follow us there. Also, please rate us on iTunes and leave a fun review if you can. Enjoy!
Of Drinks and Disney with Stina. And hello,
Alyssa.
I'm Alyssa Nordmo. I'm an actress theoretically, but these days I do more music. I'm in a band called Ria Dosa.
Yes.
If you're into country, check it out. And if you're not into country, check it out. You might learn something about yourself.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard her play a few things and also watched your Instagram videos that you put up.
True.
And it's always beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
Also, I watched this movie with a friend of mine who is my former roommate, who is an artist, animator, director, actual man of many talents. His name is Evan Kerna. So we are lucky enough to have some sketches of his that he took while we drew this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He said we were welcome to use. If you want to check out some of his original art, go to his Instagram, which is at @artofevank. But also he has a webcomic that is very cool, which is beat-city.com or on Instagram at beatcitycomic.
Awesome. I was very excited when you sent me those drawings.
I mean, he's like a legit artist, animator. And when I sat down to watch the movie and got out my notebook, and he was like, well, if you're going to take notes, I'm going to take notes. But he got out, like, his sketchbook
for
the character notes.
What a fun way to watch the movie, too. And, like,
with someone who knows about the art, you know.
Mm-hmm. Heaven's great! All right! I'm just going to go over some stuff about the movie.
Okay.
So, today, we're doing The Rescuers.
Yes!
1977. And then the drink we're drinking is a cocktail that Alyssa found, but also pseudo
made. I found the vague inspiration online.
Yeah.
And was like, that's enough to go on.
Yeah.
But in keeping with the idea of the locale of the bayou.
Yes.
We have rum, we have peaches, a little peach juice, and some lime. What I don't have, but we can lie to our listeners and say that we have, is a giant diamond-shaped ice cube in each glass.
Actually,
we for sure have that.
I used to have those from Disneyland. You know the ones that light up?
Okay. But we didn't put them in our drinks.
No, so whatever.
I mean, we did.
I mean, we did.
Do have a giant glowing diamond
in our cocktails. I forgot to take photos.
We're calling this the Devil's Bayou.
Yes, that's the cocktail.
Which I am not certain is an actual place.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's made up for the movie.
Yes.
But what a cool name for a place and a cocktail.
For sure.
Yes.
I feel like, also, I regretted that there is, feel like there should be, and again, lying to our listeners, there is something red in this cocktail, perhaps like
a cherry.
I hate maraschino cherries is the thing.
I love
like they're
that.
Plastic.
I would eat your maraschino cherry.
Ooh,
that sounds sexual.
Okay, I have metal goblets that are somewhat pirate-like in keeping also with the. I don't know if you can hear this.
Okay, listen.
That's our clink of our pirate goblets. These are silver. I got these in an antique shop in Chelsea, Michigan.
These are real silver?
These are actual silver goblets. And I never have an excuse to drink one.
You need to polish this shit.
I know. The inside is shinier. It looks like, folks at home, it looks like the Grail from Last Crusade.
Yes. Indeed.
Which is, like, very plain on the outside and, like, a little glossy on the inside.
No, they're really nice. They're like if you lived in the bayou and you had, like, your grandma's old silver, but you didn't have any way to, like...
But you didn't take care of it.
Yes, you didn't take care of it.
Because you were a trashy asshole like Medusa.
Yes! So these are Medusa's silver, but she likes it that way because then people
like
don't realize
Medusa
that they're silver.
Came from good folks who were just like, what has happened to Medusa?
I think you're right. I think you're right. So, The Rescuers, 1977.
Yes.
This came out during the dark age of Disney.
Here's what Evan told me.
Okay.
He said this was the last film before the Dark Age began, yes, where he said it was the last movie that actually turned a profit for them until The Little Mermaid.
Yes. This was actually the most successful movie in the Dark Age. Directed by Wolfgang Reitherman, John Lounsbury, and Art Stevens.
Where does Glenn Keane come into play?
I'll tell you in a second.
Great, okay.
Story by Larry Clemens, Vance Gary, Ken Anderson, Frank Thomas, Bernie Mattinson, Fred Luckey, Dick Sebast, David McKernner.
So many men.
That's a lot of white men.
That's a lot
of white men. Okay, based on The Rescuers and Miss Bianca by Marjorie Sharp.
Alright, Marjorie.
Alright, Marjorie, I see you. Starring
Ava Gabor,
mm-hmm,
and the man whose name I cannot remember in this very moment. Can you throw me a bone here?
Bob
Newhart.
Yes!
We also have Michelle Stacy, Geraldine Page, Joe Flynn, Jim Jordan, John McIntyre, Jeanette Nolan, Pat Buttram, and Bernard Fox.
Okay.
Geraldine Page is Medusa.
Great.
Okay. Budget. $7.5 million.
That's so much money.
Box office. $169 million.
Ooh, nice.
So they made out. They made out, which is great.
Yes.
When Evan was like, oh, this was the last successful Disney movie before The Little Mermaid, I was like, how do you define successful? He was like, it made more money than they spent. And I was like, oh, so very literally.
Yes, that's how you decide. Right,
okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Yes. I have a quiz for you.
Oh, boy.
It's so good.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Can't wait.
It's okay if you don't get them right.
Is it?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay.
Okay. What's the name of the mouse who founded the Relief Society?
Are you kidding me?
What?
Did I write that down?
I don't even know what you're...
You know what? I just said it wrong. It was the Rescue Aid Society.
I was going to say, I was like, what even is the Relief Society?
We'll get into that later because I have something about that.
Okay, I don't know is the answer. I don't know.
His name is Euripides Mouse, who removed the tiny needle from the
Euripides?
I'm sorry.
Okay, go on.
I'll rip your D's.
Outstanding.
A tiny needle from a ferocious lion's paw, which is a clear reference
to
the mouse and the lion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you see,
this was in the movie
that I watched on Wednesday.
Yes.
Like, what?
Can I tell you where it is?
Yes.
When you first have them start singing their song.
Okay.
Behind them is a mural of Euripides.
You are, like,
helping
these are
the
trick
line.
Questions.
No, they're not.
You're like, I'm going to find, like, the minutiae that no one would remember upon a casual viewing of this movie, and then grill you on that shit.
Are you ready for more?
Yes. I mean, no, but... Sure.
What is the cat's name?
Rufus?
See? Did a great job.
I got this.
What is the name of the airline that Orville flies for?
Is Orville the seagull?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not a seagull.
He's not a pelican.
No.
No. What is he? Is this another question? You can't tell me.
No. This is the answer to the question that I just asked.
Oh. Albatross!
Yes. Albatross Airlines.
Which makes sense because, like, he does fly in some really intense weather and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so I'm like, what kind of seagull is this guy? But he's an albatross, which have, like, the biggest wingspan of, like, that kind of bird.
Okay.
Like, they're known for how...
But also, he's, like, it's a joke in the movie, like, how bad
for sure.
he is at flying.
Yeah.
But he has the strength from being an albatross.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not a biologist, Christina.
Well, I am a doctored biologist.
I still am not sure if those were crocodiles or alligators. I think they're crocodiles.
Okay. Well, that's actually my next question.
Great.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Let's move on.
What are the gators' names?
Nero and something also very
yes
old and Roman,
sounding.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Oh, I remembered this earlier. You didn't put it in your notes? Come on.
What?
I put my feelings in my notes. I didn't put, like facts to remember.
It's a diary.
Nero Tiberius?
That's
or something, something like that.
It's wrong. It's a good guess, though.
What is it?
Brutus.
Brutus.
Yes.
Et tu.
What does Penny do whenever Medusa looks at her? Do you notice? Did you notice?
Look away? I don't know. What?
Think of
cry?
Medusa.
Oh, freeze.
She freezes.
Ooh.
Every time that she looks
at her. Very clever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I did not notice.
Yeah. What famous band was originally asked to do the music?
Are you kidding me?
Okay,
just
maybe
tell me.
It's a little manipulative of me to make a quiz with trivia that is obviously the casual watcher would not know.
Sure.
But it's also a way of me to give you information.
Why don't you just give me that information?
The Cranberries.
No, not the Cranberries.
Not the Cranberries.
The Carpenters.
What?
Which would have been so
Why
good,
do
right?
crocodiles suddenly appear?
Karen was so into it. She wanted to do it
every
with the
time.
But for some reason they didn't. I can't remember.
Okay.
Disney almost reused a character from a previous film in this film, but decided against it. Do you know who that character is?
Can you tell me whether it is a human or an animal?
It's a human.
Okay. And it would have to be in the same kind of setting, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like,
And I'll give you this, a similar type of human.
To Medusa?
Yes.
I almost said Ursula. Isn't that interesting?
Which is very interesting because Ursula is... A lot of Ursula is taken from Medusa. And this person I'm asking.
So, like a dodgy person I don't know. I'm just going to say I don't know.
You're going to be mad when I tell you.
Tell me.
Cruella de Vil.
Oh.
They were going to have Cruella be the villain in this.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, here's another thought I had.
Mm.
Bianca, where's that little fur?
Yes.
What kind of fur does a mouse wear?
Fucking fancy fur.
I thought maybe moth.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I thought when you said that. That's terrifying. If you cannot hear this, what we are hearing is...
I feel like we're in the cave.
So we're
in the water.
This is very swamp appropriate.
Yes, I'm scared.
We are in this weird little, like... There.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Is it gonna break?
That's the kitchen, right?
I have this weird little... spare room in the back of my walk-in closet that is, like, for hiding enemies of the state. I don't know why.
But there's a pipe that runs through it, and I think that it is from my neighbor who has a studio unit house that is not connected.
Okay.
Because I was
but
like...
it is so... I am never in this room, and it is so loud.
Animator Don Bluth is more famous for the work he's done in non-Disney films.
Okay. Which, such as?
Can you name it?
Okay. What else did Don Bluth do? I'll bite.
Secret of Nim. American Tale. Land Before Time. All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Okay.
Anastasia. Thumbelina. Rockadoodle.
What the fuck is Rockadoodle?
You know what Rockadoodle is?
I sure don't.
Girl.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Rockadoodle is... It's about a rooster.
Let's move on.
Okay. Okay, it's...
Next question.
Can I just say something about Rockadoodle?
Sure.
It's an allegory about Elvis.
Mm.
Okay. That's all I wanted.
I'm actually immediately on board.
Okay. What country does Bianca represent in the rest?
She has, like, a transatlantic accent. She has a very, like, Catherine Hepburn
but
accent.
It's more European than Catherine Hepburn.
England?
No.
What?
She's Hungarian.
Oh, just like Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Makes sense. Was that ever said?
Listen.
Okay.
When she sits down at the AIDS Society,
can
she
I
has
tell you
Hungary, the little plaque in front of her.
How much I love the mouse UN.
I know, isn't it adorable?
What Oscar award was the film nominated
for? That song.
For?
Thank you. Do you remember what the song is called?
Nope.
That's fine. It's called Someone's Waiting for You.
the one that is sung when Penny's like, I'm sad that I'm in the swamp.
I feel like Evan said, and this may or may not be true, that it was either the first or one of the first to have songs that were sort of in the background as opposed to being sung by the characters.
That is true. Which is so 70s.
Yeah.
It felt super Bond.
Yeah.
Very James Bond.
Yeah. Here's the big bomb that I've been waiting to drop. Okay. I thought about it. Now, when Christina was like, do the Drinks and Disney podcast with me and pick the movie that you want to watch, I had the vague idea that I was like, it would be most interesting to me to watch something that I know I saw as a kid but haven't seen since.
Yes.
And see, like, how it holds up or, like, how, you know, what it's like now watching it as an adult. And then I was like, I had it down to 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
And this movie. And then I was like, I'm going to go with Rescuers. And the more I thought about it, I realized I think there's a very good chance this is the first movie I ever saw.
I got shivers.
Yeah. It's a whole timeline thing. I had to put it together because we didn't have a TV in my house until I was in the second grade. So TV and movies were very exciting and special for me. So, like, memories of watching this movie as a very young kid were, like, I know it was at Chantel's house, and I know that I don't think I went to her house after kindergarten. Like, I think she moved or something. Like, she was a church friend.
It's amazing that you remember her name.
Well, our parents kept in touch, like, I still know her family or whatever, but, like, I don't remember, like, hanging out at her house. I know that she had this movie, and it's so interesting to me because, like, I remember nothing about the movie until I watched it. And then as I was watching it, I was like, I remember
all of this.
Yeah. So familiar to me.
Yeah.
Anywhere from the age of 4 to 6 when I saw this movie, and also not just saw it, but like saw it over and over again. I think so many times going to her house. I knew it so well as a little kid, and then had no knowledge of it as an adult. Like, not have told you anything that happened in this movie.
I remember watching it young and being really affected by certain things in the movie, which I'll talk about later.
It's terrifying.
And now watching it as an adult, it's a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. As well as looking up the trivia for this movie blew my mind.
Really?
Because there is so much. And it's like, it was a very successful movie, but it's not what you, like, people haven't seen this movie.
It's not as much of a staple.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's so anti the Disney formula.
I have so many feelings. Yeah. First of all, holy shit. The beginning with Bernard and Bianca, like, their characters being introduced.
Yes.
And introduced to each other. Yes. Like, first to the audience and then to each other. I have never rooted for a couple in any movie.
It's so funny because Bianca is a feminist warrior darling.
Dude!
Except when she won't put her belt on tighter because she doesn't want to wrinkle her dress.
I mean, whatever. She's taking care of her things. I took notes as I was watching the movie, and what I wrote... I wrote, love the Mass UN, female heads of state.
Yes.
No one portrayed as a caricature. Every country had dignity.
Yes.
Loved that.
I did notice.
And then I wrote in all caps, this entrance bitch.
Yes.
She struts.
She's fucking late.
She struts.
First of all,
because
late. Who cares?
I don't know if she's actually smoking, but I remember her smoking.
She probably was smoking.
It feels like she was smoking.
Or she was, like, she just finished.
She just, like, strolls in.
She does, and everyone watches her because she's gorgeous. The first Disney animated film to explicitly venture into feminist character portrayals.
They had to define it that way. Like, all she does is just, like...
Although their duo is balanced in the term of leadership, it is Miss Bianca who breaks tradition by asking permission to attempt a rescue, agreeing to take Bernard along to satisfy the chair, who in turn acknowledges that times have changed. Two of the major female characters, Madame Medusa and Ellie Mae, both assume dominant...
Who's Ellie Mae?
She's the...
wife of Luke. Who is Luke? Luke's the one who drinks the she's like the most
the hillbilly.
Yes,
rodents.
Yeah. Okay.
Who both assume dominant role over their far more passive partners, Mr. Snoops and Luke, respectively. Finally, despite her youth, Penny breaks the traditional mold of the damsel in distress prototype by repeatedly making efforts to rescue herself,
also,
rather than wait passively to be found and rescued. Bernard wants to protect Bianca, but truly, like, doesn't really need to. Like, yeah. she's, like, totally cool with charging into dangerous
yes.
situations. Bernard is very superstitious and afraid.
Literally, the only reason Bernard is there is because the chairman wouldn't let her go without an escort.
And because Bianca found him endearing and
yes.
was like, yeah, I'll take that guy.
And it's Bernard's passiveness that drew her to him.
No, the moment where she turns and is like, okay, I'm interested in this guy, is when he's like, no, she might get hurt. Like, when he,
right.
he like, is alarmed by how worried he is
right.
for her,
right.
like,
yeah,
on her behalf.
True. Yes.
And then she's like, oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the moment when she looks at him, checks him out, and then is like,
yes.
I'm gonna take him.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I loved.
Yes.
It was very sweet. And I think even made me wonder, like, how much influence that had on me as a kid, because so much of, like, Bernard's character felt like my ideal male, where I was like, has this been in me since I was four because of this movie?
Actually,
because he's so sweet.
My boyfriend, Nader, like, as I was watching this movie, I was like, our costume this Halloween?
P.S. Just so you know, this is
we
what
are Bernard and Bianca, and he hasn't seen the film, so I was like, so we're watching it because, like, I'm not taking
no,
because
like,
that
this isn't a question.
It's literally a perfect costume for us.
I'm not even kidding. As I was watching, like, them, their sort of meet cute,
mm-hmm.
as it were, I was like, I've never cared about a couple more in any Disney movie, in any movie.
Then we'll have you back for Down Under, because
Rescues Down Under. This is just from a standpoint, from a production standpoint, but I love the whole sequence of Bernard climbing into the bottle.
Yes.
Because I love the sound of him
yes.
inside the bottle, the
yes.
echoey.
I do too.
Being like,
also, I love that he didn't really have to get in the bottle. I feel like I think he could have found a way to not be in the bottle.
Could have.
I love that
the bottle on
bottle.
Its side.
I think it's adorable. That
possibly. Sure. I will say there were multiple times throughout the movie where I was like worried for the mite. Oh, he's gonna be trapped in this bottle. Like,
yes,
he's
too.
In trouble now. And then it was like fine. It was a non-issue. We move on to the
he
next.
He got
week.
Out of
I
the
was
bottle.
Like, oh,
it's
fine.
They cracked it open.
I was like, oh no, this is
almost
this is
cut him in half.
I love. Here's what I love about Medusa. So Disney villainesses are very larger than life,
yes.
and often very supernatural. We have
yes.
Ursula, we have
mm-hmm.
Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
Medusa's just a mean lady with a shotgun.
She's terrifying.
She's very real.
Yes.
She's very real. Very human.
There's real people.
And it's
like
very
her.
Scary.
Yes, she's
it's
terrifying.
So much scarier than Ursula, you know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a mean lady. Just art-wise, love in the beginning, the opening credits, which I feel, again, very Bond theme-esque. Love the pastel landscapes.
Yes, it's
holy
all
shit.
One
gorgeous.
Artist who does all
is
that.
Is it Glen Keane?
It's not Glen Keane.
Okay.
And it's not Don Bluth either. But it's a certain guy who they, like, found. And it's also, like, the story of the bottle.
What I wrote here, I wrote sad bottle.
And yeah, true.
Also, I love the contrast of the moving figures over the painted still
yes.
background. Really
yeah.
love that animation
style. The background work in this movie is incredible.
And also the rain
mm-hmm.
In what I feel like was the next scene, but
mm-hmm.
it was just like, love the sound of it.
Yeah.
It's just so rich.
I hear you. Yeah.
And of the look of the movie and the sound,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
rich. I also loved how inventive it was in the use of situations or props, etc., that
could not be used by characters any larger than they were. Mice yes. and children in situations yes. where they needed to be as mm-hmm, small as they
mm-hmm,
were.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, Penny in the little cavern and the mice mm-hmm. inside the skull.
Yes.
You know, like yeah. they're really made use of the size of the characters.
Yes. Yes. And even in when you see the mouse UN as well as like even just like the airline and stuff.
Love this cat.
Rufus.
Rufus. Shout out to Rufus.
And cat and Penny. So
that
precious.
Scene.
That scene is so
well written.
Fucking below the yeah. belt cute.
Yes.
Like I was hurting
yes.
in my heart.
It's
like Penny. Okay, Penny's voice
is perfect.
Who is Penny's voice?
I gotta look
voice?
At it because she's
it was
so good.
Devastatingly cute.
Yes. Yes.
Devastatingly
Penny
cute.
Rescuers.
Because she's rough.
So like, good.
Heartbreakingly cute.
And I always wonder
oh
how
God.
Old the actress Who, was when she did it.
7 months?
An infant?
Two things happening. Once, Christine has just pulled up the actress photo and there's water running through this pipe again. It's very spooky.
I have to put this on okay. Instagram.
The woman's name is Michelle Stacy. And she, I'm going to throw it out there and say a little less cute.
But, what?
Sorry. But two pigtails.
Oh my God.
It's a picture of her. It's what is essentially like the same
She's,
exact fucking outfit.
I was not
and
expecting
like
this.
Two
when
pigtails,
I
overalls,
it.
Collared, button down.
I also
shirt.
Wasn't expecting the WrestleMania.
Also, look. Christina, ads are targeted based on her interests.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so, okay. Michelle Stacy. She,
okay.
It doesn't say how old she was.
Was born
she
in
looks,
the unknown.
Here's what I'm going to take an educated nanny guess. Let me look at the photo again.
I want to say this girl is 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think you're right. And she's incredible. This voice.
For that performance?
Is like an angel baby child. Like, it's too much.
It's so good.
It hurts. It hurts.
I
she's
also
so
hate
small.
That a running theme for Penny is that she's not pretty enough.
What? Oh, yeah. That's so
that
fucked up.
That rips me apart.
Where they're just like, oh, no one wants an ugly orphan child like
she's
you. We're just like,
a little
angel. She's gorgeous. And like when,
Shut
and
up.
Then Medusa says it later, like, who would want a plain girl like you, and I'm like, that is her thing! Don't make it worse, Medusa!
What do you mean it's her thing?
Well, she says it with Rufus. She says, like, she says that she's plain. She says that she's not pretty. Because all the pretty girls get adopted.
Who's a pretty girl at age 4? Like, Christina just, like, cheers to the invisible camera as if to say, fucking me, bitches. Just so you, viewers at home, it's what just happened.
I was a very pretty 4-year-old.
The scene with Penny and the old cat, what's happening there? Remind me. She's talking to the old cat about how she wants a home and nobody likes her, right?
Well, she's sad. And then Rufus is like, what's wrong, Penny? And then she's like, we went to the adoption fair or whatever because they had that back then for
nobody
children.
Nobody wanted me.
And nobody, you know, or she like met with a couple or something and they went with someone else. And he's like, oh, you'll find someone. And she's
at
like.
At which point, I have to say, I was convinced that Bernard and Bianca would be her mouse parents. It didn't have any, like, working memory of this film to be,
actually,
like, to remember how it turned out. And I was like, is she going to have mouse parents?
I remember thinking, like, Penny, you speak to animals. Like, just, like, find some cute dogs.
And Evan made this like, excellent point, too, that in Disney movies, like, the evil animals cannot communicate with
yes,
humans.
Yes, and that was
good
one
animals
of my notes.
Can.
This is one of my notes. And I remember, do you remember that movie, Dinosaur? I remember in reading in Entertainment Weekly, they gave it one of the reasons they gave it a bad rating is because the T-Rexes, who are the villains, do not speak. But every other dinosaur speak. And that's just, like, lazy.
That's classic Disney, though.
It's classic Disney.
But animals don't
I
speak.
I agree. I think that, like,
why should we just, like, question?
Thing,
why are we not giving...
Here's what I have to say about the crocodiles. Them. They're supposed to... I feel like it'd be very scary. You know, this woman who has a shotgun, two crocodiles at her beck and call. However, who could imagine more gentle crocodiles? These crocodiles literally, like, lift pennies.
No, teddy bear by its clothing.
I think the crocodiles love Penny. I think that they actually super love her. And that they super care for her.
Because they're not in any way threatening.
No, they're very...
Like, initially when I was like, oh, no, there's crocodiles. They could they could hurt people. And then, like, the first instance of them bringing in offenders to Medusa, I was like, oh, they're so gentle.
They are.
Like, they're very gentle. Don't...
And at the end of the movie,
scared.
They're snapping at her. They're snapping at Medusa.
Right. Isn't she... She's on some kind of pole.
Yes. And, which is interesting because there's,
much like
there's a disconnect. Yes, which is a theme in Disney too, is that your minions will turn on you once your power is gone.
If you suck.
If you suck. I always wonder why they turn on her, because before, it's not like there's a dynamic shift in power with Medusa and the gators. It's
crocodiles.
All the same.
I want to say crocodiles.
Sure.
Okay.
Whatever. It's all the same. Like, nothing changes in their relationship dynamic, but in the end, they're like, we're gonna eat
it's
you.
Just, you're right. It doesn't really, like, get there. It's just, they're her minions, and then all of a sudden, they're snapping at her ass. Yeah.
Yes. But I do believe strongly and ferociously that they actually love Penny, and they want her to not escape, but they don't want to hurt her.
Here's something I wrote. I don't know if you have any feelings about...
Tell me.
This is going to get a little bit political.
Oh, here we go! Strap in, people.
Here, buckle up!
You kind of sound like Bernard.
I wrote... Okay, I don't remember exactly the context, but what I have in quotes in my notes, quote, trashy people... Who? Meaning the people who are holding Penny.
Yes.
Somebody says that.
That they're trashy?
Or I wouldn't have written it down. Trashy people? Who? Cut to...
Okay.
An NRA sticker.
Oh.
No joke. There's an NRA patch on like a... I want to say, like, a bank teller-esque window.
Yeah.
Nobody's a bank teller in this situation, but I feel like that's what the...
I don't remember that, but
But there was an NRA sticker when it cuts to the location of Medusa and Snoops.
Interesting.
And then it's like, of course, she's wielding a shotgun for the rest of the movie.
It's an automatic shotgun.
Okay.
Did you notice that?
No, sure didn't. Don't know shit about guns like a true Democratic liberal.
I was raised by a Republican.
Woo, cheers.
Boop, boop, boop.
Oh, here's another thing that I loved. Is Medusa's fucking swamp-ass jet ski.
Yes, I love
the swamp jet ski.
It's
very cool. And then I wrote, OMG, Moonshine Mouse. What's the bird's name? The
Orville.
Orville. When the first scene that Orville appears was one of those moments where I was like, again, as an adult, if you had asked me what happens in this Rescuers movie, I would have had nothing to tell you. I would have no idea. But the second I saw Orville, I was like, oh, I remember this. I remember this asshole. I remember this guy. I remember this bird who is, like, bad at flying.
Yes.
I remember immediately that he is, like, gives them a hard time.
Well, he's kind of the comedic...
Yes.
He's the comedic relief of
Absolutely.
The movie, for
sure.
Yeah.
I remember immediately upon seeing him, I was like, yes, this son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. I remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, the dragonfly.
What's his name? Is that Orville? No, Orville's the albatross bird. The dragonfly is
Everdeen or something like that.
Evergreen?
Everdeen? It's something super
Katniss
weird.
Katniss Everdeen?
It's Katniss Everdeen.
It's Katniss Everdeen?
The firefly.
But he goes...
That's really good. Movie. Right? Thank you.
Evan Ride is his name. Dragonfly is loyal as hell. Like... Evan Rude.
Yes.
We'll just do anything.
We'll do anything.
We'll do anything for anyone.
Yeah.
He's just like, you need some help. I'm going to go across the bayou, across the tri-state area.
He's so tired.
Poor little guy.
The last note that I took is written in all caps.
Yes, tell me.
And it says, Union Vet.
The turtle
paddles his way across the water, and I cannot even remember the situation that deemed necessary.
Yes, I remember this. Yeah, keep going.
He is a Union Civil War veteran.
He for sure
veteran.
Is. Yes.
Also a turtle.
They would not have a Confederate in a Disney movie, I don't think.
Wouldn't they?
They might.
Maybe a couple decades prior, before they were like, oh, it's frowned upon. Which... is not out of the realm of reality. Like, in that time period, my father was born in 1940, and he remembers actual Civil War veterans, like, marching in Fourth July
parades. Your father was born in 1940?
He's an old man!
Fuck!
Yeah, he remembers World War II ending.
I thought my dad was an old dad.
My father remembers World War II ending.
That is insane.
He remembers Civil War veterans
yeah.
marching in parade.
Can you imagine?
Okay, but so in the end, here we go. Like, we've talked about a lot of the minutiae of the movie, but, like, the story at large, we have what we have here is a mean lady with a shotgun. Came to
Alyssa.
Find a diet.
Yes. I have more notes.
Let's talk about it.
If this was, like, a modern live-action film with humans,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm. We'd have...
Nathan Lane. Okay. I'm going to switch it up a little bit.
Yes.
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
With Sofia Vergara as Bianca.
Word.
Right?
Word.
Like, so obvious.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And, like, she'd be more Colombian or whatever than Hungarian. But it's the same archetype. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Or Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd.
Right?
Ooh!
And then, if we wanted to go still a European route, I think, like, a Scarlett Johansson with an accent. Maybe. For a Bianca.
Who is the most, like, stammering...
I think
awkwardest male sweet heart.
Martin Freeman. That's the one.
We found it.
Ding 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 ding.
Ding ding.
Yeah, for sure.
Martin Freeman is today's Bernard. Here's one thing I love about Bianca.
Yeah.
Ultra confident.
So confident.
And simultaneously so sweet. So endearing.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
When do you think that Penny realized she could speak to animals? And I feel like she could use it to her advantage.
I think when the mice come to her, okay. She talks to Rufus as a confidant, where I think that, like, whether she was aware that he understood her or not, she would have said the same things.
Way.
She would have been like, I need somebody to talk to. This old ass cat will do.
I guess in the
whether he
original...
understands me or not. And it's when Bianca and Bernard come to her that she's like, oh my god, what's happening? Where she realizes, like, they're communicating with her.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I read
that in the original novel, someone asks Rufus, why didn't you tell anyone that Penny was in trouble? And he says, no one thought to ask me.
What?
Okay. Which means that anyone could talk to an animal if they asked. But that's not true because I talk to my dog all the time.
Okay.
And she never answers.
Oh.
Also, where are my little mouse rescuers? You know what I mean?
Like, I need a new job for every reason. Like, I need a new fucking job, so maybe they should, like, help me get a new job.
Perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. Like, if they're out to help people, like, I need help, okay?
You gotta send a message in a box.
When Medusa takes her eyelashes off.
Yes.
I didn't know that was a thing when I was a child.
False eyelashes?
I didn't know falsies were a thing. And so I was shook every time. I also like how when the mice show up, and she's like, Penny's like, she's like, oh, wait, you're here! Direct me! So where are the police?
Did you bring someone who could help?
like actual people could help.
I also like...
Amazing.
The black scary hole in the cave was so scary when I was little.
Oh my god!
The child abuse is so
child abuse.
Extreme and real.
This could actually happen in the very, very south awful place.
Yeah. Like,
this could actually happen for sure.
Yeah.
She's also very Miss Hannigan.
True.
From Annie. She's a very
orphan
Hannigan.
Abuse.
Yes, orphan abuse. Well, and like she's kind of a okay, so
when did Annie come out?
Oh no, 77!
The better year for orphan abuse.
Oh shit. For little slightly ginger orphan abuse. Well, it was also the time where people actually started being like, children matter. We should care about the children. Do you remember Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
No, sure don't.
No recollection of
that whatsoever.
Well, our audience will remember.
Possibly Happy Meal toys?
Yeah, sure. Like, I'm sure they were Happy Meal toys.
Yeah.
So it was an animated television show about Chip and Dale, who are the chipmunks from Disney, the little brothers.
Word.
Yeah. And they had a show about rescuing people, and it actually was supposed to be...
Somewhat, I must inquire.
From things like this, because...
Weird.
Because Chippendale Rescue Rangers was supposed to be the Rescuers television show, but they changed it to Chippendale.
What?
Because they were greenlit for Rescuers Down Under, so they didn't do the television show, they changed it to Chippendale Rescue Rangers instead of the Rescuers. Did you know that this movie outgrossed Star Wars?
What?
In European countries.
Specifically like, France and Germany that made more money in it. And I think that's because we had a Eastern European lead in this
movie. Eva Gabor.
Yes.
For sure. To have a Hungarian actress at the forefront.
Whereas Star Wars is very, like, there's British people in it, but, like, it's
super American.
Very
American. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So to have Eva Gabor... Who, am I correct? Her sister was Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Yes, correct.
Okay, yes.
You're very correct. And you feel like Eva would make the same choices if she were Beyonce.
She's just in it for the fun. She's in it for the adventure, but at the same time, she's so... What I feel like maybe is the spoonful of sugar that had to come along with that in the era, at the same time being so... So sweet.
Yes.
She puts Bernard at ease through his superstition and his fear.
And
his anxiety about every impending situation by just a little kiss on the nose.
Some people who have high anxiety or issues like that, they just need that one person who calms them down.
In most rom-coms, even action-adventure rom-coms, kind of like what you... could theoretically classify this as an action-adventure rom-com.
Sure.
There's always a moment where it's like it builds up to, like, where the big deal is, will they kiss?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
They sort of elegantly and smartly sort of discard that early on in the movie. Where she's just like, hey, it's cool. I like you. I'm into you. I'm gonna kiss you on the cheek or whatever, early on, where she, like, she gives him a little smooch, and he's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then that's just their relationship from there on out.
But also, when she falls asleep when they're flying, Bernard is smooth as Super
putting,
cute!
Putting his arm around her like that?
Super cute!
Super nice! Okay. One more note.
Okay.
I'm gonna read this thing.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
While working on the film, animator Don Bluth noted that some of the characters did not have the whites of their eyes colored in. Do you remember this?
What? No.
Bernard and Bianca do not have the whites of their eyes colored in.
That's why they're called whites of their eyes? Because they're white? I don't understand.
Like, as if your the white of your eyes mm-hmm. would be the same color as your skin. That's what it is in the movie.
Okay.
Did you not notice that?
No.
Okay. Well, I noticed it. Anyway.
I don't. Okay.
When he questioned the reason why, he was told that it was too expensive. Bluth and the fellow animator Gary Goldman got their own equipment to test if it was true. They found that it was not expensive. When they reported back with their discovery, the two were told to follow orders and do as they were told. Bluth referred to this as the straw that broke the camel's back, which would eventually lead to Bluth and Goldman leaving Disney.
Okay.
There was no light in their eyes.
This was like a fireable offense.
He wasn't fired. He just questioned it. And all they said was follow orders instead of, oh, that's weird. Maybe we should check into that.
Okay.
It's a machine.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, why aren't their eyes white? I want you to rate this movie from 1 to 10 Devil Eye Diamonds.
I want to say, upon revisiting it, one of my favorite movies, period.
In the first 45 minutes of watching this movie, I was just still processing. I was just like, I can't, okay, they're mice, and they're the best couple I've ever seen. And I love them so much. Penny and Rufus, I just, it's for the first, I want to say, a whole 60% of the movie, I was just like, I can't hardly even, like, accept this into my heart. It's too many feelings. I somehow above 10 stars.
Okay.
I think easily my favorite Disney movie, and beyond that, possibly one of my top favorite movies.
Yay!
I think it is so integral to, like, my understanding of film as a very small child. Bernard is so deeply an ideal male for me.
Yeah.
That there's no way that it wasn't influential to me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's no question that, like, he has fear.
Mm-hmm.
He has very real fear and suspicion and superstition that, like, he's scared in these moments.
He's the very antithesis, you know, of the male.
But when it comes
hero.
Down to it, mm-hmm. if he's challenged or if Bianca is in danger, it's not a question.
Right, exactly.
At all.
He's
there.
Would you come back and do the sequel?
I would totally love to watch it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do
that.
We'll have you down for
down.
Down under. I love that movie. It's so good.
Hope you enjoyed the episode. Quick disclaims. Drinks and Disney is not affiliated in any way with the Walt Disney Company. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Instagram at Drinks and Disney. Special thanks to Grace Sy for our music. Cheers, my Disney dears.